Let's all unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face as we come into his presence. Pray for the blessing of God upon the preaching of God's word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for this privilege of opening up the word of God and considering the things of God. We pray, Lord, now that you would be pleased to speak to our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for thy truth that is before us. We just pray, Lord, that you would come and speak to all of us. Oh God, how we need to hear that still small voice of God speaking to us. We pray, Lord, for those especially in the meeting who are still unsaved, strangers to grace and to God. Many, Lord, who've sat here in this church for many years and they're still on the broad road which leads to destruction. Oh God, I pray, have mercy upon such. Impress upon them their need, their great need of salvation and the urgency of it. For life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, how they need to be in time. O God, we thank thee for thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for patience towards sinners. O God, we pray today, Lord, that you would reach down, pluck men and women as brands from the burning. Fill us now afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. At the close of our service today, I want to preach on the subject, Peter's imprisonment and deliverance, a picture of conversion. In our last study in Acts chapter 12, we considered the persecution of the church at Jerusalem, which took place at the hand of King Herod. And we saw how Herod killed James with the sword, and then because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter and put him in prison. Therefore, in this chapter, at the beginning of this chapter, we find Peter in the prison cell awaiting trial. There's nothing that Peter can do for himself to escape. Chained and fettered, Peter knows, humanly speaking, that the future for him looks bleak. But then something wonderful happens. God delivers Peter out of the prison and sets him free. Men and women, what we have here, I believe, is a wonderful picture and type of God's salvation. Peter's imprisonment and deliverance is a picture, I believe, of conversion. And very simply today, as we look at this story at the beginning of Acts chapter 12, that's what I want to consider with you. And I pray that as we look at Peter's imprisonment and deliverance as a type of conversion, that the Lord will speak to all of those in the meeting who are not saved, who are not born again of the Spirit of God. Sinner, Peter's imprisonment at the beginning of Acts chapter 12 is a picture of your spiritual condition before God. And as you consider this message this afternoon, I pray that God the Holy Spirit will write this truth upon your heart. Because until you see yourself as God sees you, then you will never know God's deliverance from the penalty of your sin. Therefore, I pray that if you're not converted today, that the Lord will speak very personally to your heart. And I pray that you'll listen, and not only that you will listen, but today as the word of God goes forth, that you will heed the message of the gospel. First of all, I want you to notice Peter's plight. Look with me there at verse 4. Underline these words. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison. And then look at verse 6, because verse 6 tells us that Peter was bound with two chains. Peter here is in the prison and he's bound with two chains. Now, what a picture we have here of the sinner's awful plight. The unsaved person is one who is in the prison house of sin and bound and chained by sin's power. Peter was awaiting judgment. Peter was facing death. Peter was unable to do anything for himself. He was
shut up in the prison, chained and fettered. And notice that it says in verse 6 that he was sleeping. Did you notice that as we read down the passage? Peter was unconcerned about his situation. And of course, this is like men and women today who are still in their sins. They're asleep, unaware of the danger that they're in, unaware of their spiritual condition, unaware that their sin is bringing them down into a lost eternity. You see, when you consider Peter's plight here, you have a picture. You have a type of the plight of the sinner that is without Christ. And my friend, if you're found in the meeting today, you're not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God, this is your plight. This is your plight. My friend, do you ever stop and consider the awful plight that you're in? Do you ever think of your spiritual condition before a holy God? Oh, that God would awaken you out of your sin and bring you to your senses. That even this hour, that you would realize the serious plight in which you're found. The truth is that sin imprisons. Sin dulls the senses. Sin brings judgment. Sin puts you in fetters. Sin brings you down to death. And eventually, it will bring you down into hell itself, because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there's no man without sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Turn over with me just for a moment to Romans chapter 5. And I want you to consider what the Bible says here about sin and the sinner. My friend, here we have your plight today. If you're found in this meeting without Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I pray that God the Holy Spirit will write His word upon your heart and upon your soul. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, Romans 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you see that? Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is the plight of the sinner. And Isaiah 1 verse 5 and 6, just turn over to the Old Testament, to that portion of Scripture, because it's important that you see these Scriptures yourself and consider how the Bible describes you. We have a detailed description here of every person that is born into this world. We have a detailed description of the plight, of the spiritual condition of everyone that's born into this world. Look at the end of verse 5. It says, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. And look at verse 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You know, this point emphasizes to us the total depravity of man. Man, because of sin, is a fallen creature. My friend, you in this meeting this afternoon, without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, here is how the Bible describes you in your sin. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of your feet to the crown of your head, there's no soundness in you but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. As we're going to find out in a moment, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, your spiritual state today is this, that you're lost. Lost in your sin. Condemned already. Your plight is that you're in the prison house of sin and you're chained. You're chained with sin's fetters. And my friend, the truth is this, that there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. The sad reality is that many today believe they can save themselves. A little bit of religion, a little bit of good works, and they believe that in itself will gain them admittance into heaven.
but it will not, because you're totally depraved. Man is totally depraved. And without God and without Christ and without hope in this world. And you're just like Peter. As Peter said in that prison house, chained to the soldiers, there was no escape for him, humanly speaking. He couldn't get out of the prison house, humanly speaking. That's your spiritual state before God today. That's your spiritual standing. You're lost. You're chained with sin's fetters in the prison house of sin. And if you die in that state, then you will be lost and lost forever. But notice, secondly, something else here. Turn back again to Acts chapter 12. I want you to notice the power in Peter's deliverance. And as we come to consider the power in Peter's deliverance, I want you to notice three things. First of all, this power that delivered Peter was all of God. Peter had no power to deliver himself. We have already made that point. Because of the chains that bound him, he could do nothing to save himself from this situation that he was in. Only God could deliver him, and the Lord did deliver him. Look with me at verse 7 there, and underline these words, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly." So you can see there that the only reason why Peter was delivered from this prison house and from these chains was because God intervened. God intervened. Notice also that this power that delivered Peter broke the chains that bound him. Look at the end of verse 7. Underline these words. "And his chains fell from his hands." The power of God broke the chains and fetters that bound Peter. And notice also verse 5, because it's very important that we note verse 5. "This power that delivered Peter came about after much prayer." It says in verse 5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." And it was after that prayer meeting that Peter was delivered from the prison. What a picture. Men and women, what a picture we have here of how God saves the sinner and delivers the sinner from sin. What a picture we have here of how God, in his mighty power, delivers the sinner from the prison house of iniquity. My friend, God has the power. But only God has the power to break the chains and fetters that bind you. He will do it because Christ, the Son of God, who is the angel of the Lord, came down from heaven to earth to die upon the cross in order to deliver sinners from their awful plight of sin. And he will deliver sinners in answer to prayer. You see, God had a plan in order to deliver you and I from sin and from sin's penalty. And God's plan was this, that he would send his angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is described in the Bible as the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord would come and die upon the cross, and upon that cross shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. And that he would rise again for our justification. And because the angel came and suffered in our place and became our substitute and became our sin bearer, became our savior, thank God you and I, lost sinners, can find deliverance from our sin and be saved for all eternity. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of this portion of scripture here, when we think of it as a picture and a type of God's wonderful salvation. Psalm 106 verse 8 says this, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18? He said this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
The power of God. And the Bible tells us in Luke 5 verse 24 that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Oh, thank God today there's escape. There is an escape from the prison house of sin. Thank God today the chains and the fetters of sin that binds us, praise God, they can be released. We can be free from them, all because of the cross, all because of redemption that's found in Jesus Christ alone. Well, we sang that lovely hymn, Jesus the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus the prisoner's fetters breaks and bruises Satan's head. Power into lifeless souls he speaks, and life into the dead. What the Lord did for Peter physically, delivering him out of the prison, the Lord can do for every sinner spiritually in this meeting today, because the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to save to the uttermost. You remember the story, I'm sure you do, of the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. Just turn over to Mark chapter 5 for a moment. You'll notice that before he met the Lord Jesus, no one could control him. He had been banished from civilization into the mountains. He was a wild man controlled by the devil. Sin and Satan had dominated him for years. But when he met the Savior, Christ's power delivered him and he was set free. In verse 15, we read these tremendous words. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. That's the demoniac. And had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Men and women, what the Son of God did for the demoniac of Gadara, he can do for you today. To the uttermost he saves, to the uttermost he saves. Do you now believe and his love receive? To the uttermost Jesus saves. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. And thank God it avails for you as well. I wonder, is there someone here in this meeting today? And you're sick of your sin. You're tired of your sin. Your sin's weighing you down. And my friend, it will weigh you down. And the longer you live, it will weigh you down the more. That's why you need your sins forgiven. That's why you need the weight of sin taken from you. That's why you need to be delivered from this awful prison house of sin. That's why you need the chains of sin torn away. Praise God, the message of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver you from the prison house. And he's able to remove the chains that bind you. Those chains of sin that's bringing you down into a lost eternity. Thank God he's able to deliver you today. Would you not come and trust him? Oh, come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he shows us the way. Would you not trust him and believe on him and turn from your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this day? Thank God. Thank God there is deliverance. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. And praise God, someday there will be deliverance from the very presence of sin, as we're going to find out just in a moment. But you can see here how God stepped in. Child of God, there's a word here for you and me, and no doubt we'll be coming back to this passage of Scripture later on this evening and perhaps next week again or the week after that in the will of the Lord. But God answered prayer. God's power came in answer to prayer. In answer to prayer. It's God's divine will to save souls in answer to prayer. His sovereign plan. In his sovereign plan, he saves souls, delivers men from the prison house of sin through prayer. There's not one of us who are here today are not here because someone prayed for us And that's why it is so important to come to the prayer meeting and pray collectively for sinners to be saved, for those who are bound by sin's fetters. So important for us to meet as a church. You'll notice here that God's people met as a body of believers to pray for the deliverance of Peter. And oh, there's many Peters in this congregation, and there's many Peters outside this congregation who need to be delivered. Delivered from the prison house. They're still in their sin. They're lost and on their way to a Christless eternity. That's why we need to continue to hold on to God for them. But there's something else I want you to notice here. Turn back again to Acts chapter 12. I want you to notice, thirdly, the pathway that Peter walked after his deliverance. Notice three things about this pathway that Peter took after he was delivered. First of all, notice that the pathway that Peter took followed the angel. Did you notice that? I'm sure that you've read this portion of Scripture many times. But have you ever considered how Peter, after the chains fell off, he followed the angel? Look what it says in verse 8 and 9. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him. Now, when the sinner is delivered and saved by the grace of God, they have a new pathway to walk. And that pathway is following Christ, the angel of the Lord. Mark 10 verse 52 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And followed Jesus in the way. You know what it says in Proverbs 4 verse 18? It says this, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." My friend, when we're saved and when we come to Christ, when we're delivered from the prison house of sin and when the chains fall off, we follow Jesus. We follow him. "I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus my shepherd is my all in all." My friend, let me ask you a question today. Are you following Jesus? Are you following Christ? Maybe there's a backslider in the meeting today. And you once walked well with the Lord. There was a time when you did follow the Lord. But today finds you in Bypath Meadow. You've stopped following the Lord the way you used to follow the Lord. And because of that, you've backslidden. Oh dear backslider, come back to the Lord today. Begin to follow the Savior again. Oh, you'll notice here that Peter, immediately he was released. Immediately the chains fell off. He followed the angel. And the angel instructed him to follow him. And Peter obeyed those instructions. Men and women, we need to follow the Lord. Day by day in our Christian lives, child of God, we need to follow the Lord. Oh, sinner, get saved today. And then follow the Lord. You'll notice something else, but look at verse 12. You'll notice the pathway that Peter took led him to the place of prayer. Did you notice that? Look at verse 12. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." You know, when the sinner gets saved, his new pathway will lead him in the paths of righteousness. Instead of walking to the public house and to the dance hall, he will walk to the prayer meeting. He will walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, tell me, friend, where does your feet bring you on a Tuesday night? Where does your feet bring you on a Sunday night? Jeremiah 6 verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls."
Peter's pathway brought him right to the prayer meeting, right into fellowship with God's people. And you know, child of God, there's a word in season there for you and me. That's where our feet should bring us into the path of righteousness. Sinner, if you get saved today, the Lord will have a new pathway for you to walk. You'll not be walking down the broad road which leads to destruction, but you'll get onto that narrow road. That narrow road which leads to light and to home, to heaven. Pathway. A pathway that follows the Savior, follows the angel. A pathway that leads you into the path of righteousness, brings you to the prayer meeting. But look at something else here. Look at verse 10. You'll notice that the pathway that Peter took led him to the city. Led him to the city. Look what it says. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. You know, after the sinner is delivered by the power of God from sin and saved by the grace of God, his new pathway will eventually lead him to heaven, the city four square. This is a picture that we have here of the conversion of the sinner. That's what I'm preaching about. That's what I want to get across to you very simply this evening and this afternoon, and especially if you're not saved, especially if you're not born again of the Spirit of God. My friend, when you get saved and when you're born again of the Spirit of God, your new pathway eventually will bring you to heaven. At the moment, you're on your journey down to hell, but thank God, today you can begin your journey to glory and to heaven. The Bible, of course, describes heaven as a city. Turn over to Revelation just for a moment. Revelation chapter 21. And of course you will know that this is the blessed hope of every child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thank God for the place called heaven. And child of God, let us never forget that's where we're heading. That's where we're going. Why should we be depressed? Why should we be downcast? Why should we live as if God is dead when God has promised us an eternal home and glory? We have a wonderful description of it here. I'm not going to read all the verses, but look at verse 14 of Revelation 21. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as long as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of all nations into it. Look at verse 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, my friend, let me in closing ask you this question. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Are you making your journey to the New Jerusalem, to the city four square? Are you prepared for the mansions above? No one will ever ask you a greater question.
No matter who you meet, no matter who you talk to, no matter what you learn, you'll never be asked a greater question than this. Are you prepared for the new Jerusalem? Are you ready for the mansions above? Praise God, you can have this salvation and you can have this knowledge and you can have this assurance. Oh, when Peter got out of the prison house, he made his journey to the city. My friend, are you making your journey to the city? To the city of God? Are you making your journey to glory, to heaven? If you're not, come today and turn from your sin and seek the Lord. Praise God. God's salvation is offered to you because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be delivered today. But you're in that prison house. That's where you are this very moment. That's your plight. That's your spiritual condition. That's where you are. You're awaiting judgment. And very soon the sentence is going to be passed. Very soon you're going to receive the penalty for sin. Very soon you're going to hear those words, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Very soon. But there's a way of escape. And the way of escape is by the cross. Praise God, the angel has come. And the angel has died. And the angel today is able to break the fetters that bind you. He's able to deliver you. And he's able to bring you on to that narrow way which leads to heaven and to home. Would you not come today and trust him? And be saved. And be ready. Let's all pray.